My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, the Nichols and May of the now generation, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
La 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 la.
Merry Christmas, Judy.
Merry Christmas.
It's your day of days.
It's my favorite show of the year. It's our Christmas show.
You're looking so festive today.
I brought in Christmas lights.
And I spiked the eggnog.
Yes, that is your role in Christmas. We should make that a new ritual.
Well, we have a great show today. I'm very, very excited.
Very.
We've got a little bit of the secular and the sacred today.
And the satanic.
Well, Santa and Satan, they're very, very close.
They're very only, you know, a little bit of a, what do you call it? Anyway.
Speaking of Satan, did anybody watch the Rolling Stones on TV last night? You know, I just want to say from what I saw on YouTube this morning when I was watching, that Paul McCartney with Nirvana was a lot more convincing than the Rolling Stones with the Black Keys.
It's unfortunate.
They need to go bye-bye.
We've come a long way. It is. You know, I can't watch it because it's like watching, it's like if it were my cat, I'd put it to sleep.
Right.
And it's so sad, you know, and I love my cat more than anything. And I feel that way about the Rolling Stones. But it was not a hard decision to make when the time came.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of stopped going to see bands that I used to love because it was so depressing. Like The Fall, the last time I saw them, which was like 20 years ago, and that was too late. It was just like, oh, God, Marky Smith, stop it. But
it's a young man's game, Judy.
It's like the Stones could not make a bad record for so long, and then they seem to have had a hard time making a good one. You know?
It's Mick. It's Mick. Because Mick is
it's Brenda.
Brenda. Well, you know, I mean, it's Mick. I mean, he's the guy who says, "Let's get Lady Gaga to sing Give Me Shelter." I mean, it's, you know, it seems very cynical to
what?
Me. Well, yeah, she sang the background parts in Give Me Shelter last night. And it's like, you know, Mick is like, "Let's go disco. Let's go punk. Let's get, you know, Babyface to produce us." And
well, Neil Young did some stupid stuff, too. But anyway, we should introduce our guest before, so people will know who else is talking.
Let me stand up for Neil for a moment.
Neil.
But Neil's unpredictable. He's an artist, and he does some pretty whacked-out shit, but he does it for himself, where the Stones thing just seems Mick's always chasing some trend. He always wants to make the record he heard in the discotheque last night.
Well, because the new woman he's banging, the new 25-year-old, told him about, like, the next
Justin
record.
Bieber.
You know, it worked on some girls.
Which that was really good.
Well, Some Girls is great because the punk rock stuff sounded great, and even the disco stuff sounded good too. But that was a long time ago. That was like 30 fucking years ago.
God, I hate 1978. How many decades ago? Records.
34
that are like,
years ago. Merry Christmas, Judy. Who we've got today? Who's our awesome guest?
Oh,
yay! Let's hear it for Joe the Engineer.
Thank you, Joe. We have Billy Huff, who came on my radar because of my friend. He came on my radar.
Sorry about that.
I had to return it. He is Mr. Provincetown, my friend.
Oh, wait, now I get it.
Oh, my God. The eggnog already.
If you want your eggnog spiked, ask a Jew.
Who does Scream Along with Billy in Provincetown. And he has a fantastic show happening next Sunday night at Joe's Pub at 9:30,
yeah.
Yeah, and it is called, I had to write it down, Suck My Dickens or Scrooge You. So...
That is true.
And to keep us on the path of the righteous today, I have my old friend, Rabbi Dan Bronstein, here to offer some perspective on the war against Christmas and what we really think of you, Goyim.
Good to be here.
It's awesome to have you, Dan.
Thank you.
I met Dan when we met. I was working on a story about Jews for Jesus. for Heeb magazine, which later became sort of a set piece of my book, I Have Fun Everywhere I Go. And I needed someone to explain to me what Jews traditionally thought of Jesus historically, because we live in fear of him. Suburban Jews live in fear of Jesus and live in fear of Christmas. You know, it's just something that's not explained. And
not in my suburbs.
How's the Jews don't fear the Christmas?
No, the Jews have Christmas trees.
That's even more fucked up.
It's not like, they don't have nativity scenes, and not every Jew has a Christmas tree, but there's plenty of Christmas.
They're trying to pass.
I think it's just they like everyone likes presents and sparkly things.
Well, anyway, what Dan told me to do, he gave me the sage advice, is to go watch The Life of Brian, the Monty Python movie, and therein all would be explained.
Right. That's the best film out there about first, second century and all the different groups that were running around then, including early Christians and early rabbinic Jews and other different sects of Jewry. And Jesus was one of, the way we understand him now, he was one of many. And a lot of the stuff that he's quoted as saying in the Christian Bible is straight from the rabbinic tradition. So this idea of him becoming Son of God, that's much later via Paul, another former Jew. So the things that he's talking about, resurrection, that's a traditional Jewish idea, albeit in a different form. Baptism goes back to the mikveh, which is a Jewish tradition. A lot of the stuff he's saying is straight out of Judaism, and not Judaism. That weird.
So basically, Christianity is to Judaism what like Windows is to like the Apple operating system.
That would be too complicated for me to think about. I guess it would be
we're feeding maybe, the rabbi bourbon.
Maybe the wing, the way the wings are to the Beatles.
ooh, take that! And there's your war on Christmas. And Judy, you love Christmas more than anyone I know.
I love Christmas.
So, and how are you feeling about this war against Christmas that I keep hearing about?
It really hasn't affected me. So I really don't believe that there's a war against Christmas. I'm an atheist, and I celebrate Christmas happily. And this bums Mike out, and I know he was hoping that you would convert me to some sort of, if not Judaism, some sort of like...
Well, I'm definitely not in the business of conversion. There's one time in Jewish history about 2,200 years ago when the Jews did, under the Maccabees, second generation Maccabees, who went and forcibly converted some people who lived to the
and
south
that
of Israel. It didn't work out that great, but I would say that nothing with the Maccabees turned out that great, despite what we celebrate and teach our kids. It's a more complicated story, but it's not traditional. I'm totally uninterested in converting people.
Thank you. You know?
My understanding is that the Jews don't recruit, right? I mean, no. If you actually want to convert, they you know you have to,
you have
like,
to try hard.
Do it yourself. You have
you
to really
turn people
pursue
away
it
traditionally,
right?
I learned about that. This is really embarrassing on Sex and the City.
Hey, you take it where you can find it, Judy.
They were talking about that on Sex and the City?
Yeah, she tried to convert three times, and the rabbi kept turning
her. We make
away.
It really fucking hard for you, right? I mean, you really got to like jump through hoops and like climb walls, and it's not easy.
It depends on how you do it, but yes, it's a process, and you need to know that people are serious, and you're not, you know, you can't make a statement, you know, that all of a sudden I've seen the light, and now I'm, you know, it doesn't work that way.
So Billy, you're doing sort of a non-traditional Christmas show. I don't believe there's going to be much...
Suck my Dickens?
Suck my Dickens? I think you might have the same sort of take on Christmas as I do. Can you explain yourself?
Sure. I love Christmas, but it's, I just can no longer, like, partake in, like, singing Christmas songs and, like, you know, but for some reason it's like, and I, you know, I worked in retail for a long time, and it's like,
oh,
if
God.
You play Christmas music, like, white people go for their wallets, and as soon, you know, nobody knows what that, like, phenomenon is, but now it's like the culture is so saturated with it. So we're going to sing Bob Dylan songs with Lily
Jew.
Taylor.
Huh? Jew.
Yeah.
I'm really not all that impressed with white people.
Well, I mean, Jews have a long history of doing all the Christmas stuff.
Sure.
You know?
Have you heard Bob Dylan's? You're a big Bob Dylan fan, right?
Yes.
Right, Dan? I mean, have you heard his Christmas record?
It's fabulous.
Fabulous.
I love it. Are you kidding?
It'd be like a sign of someone dying of tuberculosis oxygen tank.
I have to admit that I don't keep up with, you know, Dylan or the Stones. I sort of stopped in the 1970s.
It's a little more current than you might.
I think Dylan really had a resurgence. You know, we were talking about the Stones, who were like brilliant and fell off, whereas Neil Young has been pretty good the whole way through. But Dylan has had a huge...
It's awesome. Those later records were really great. I mean, he made a string of great records, Time Out of Mind. I think Love and Theft is something of a masterpiece, too.
Yeah, and...
And Modern Times is a close second.
It's great.
It's very good.
Yeah.
But he lost his voice, and it breaks my heart. I've seen him recently, and he can't sing. He's either got arthritis or carpal tunnel syndrome. He's not playing the guitar. And it's just, you know, I feel bad. He's a troubadour. I love Bob. He's still out on the road doing 150, 200 gigs a year. He has not stopped. And you got to respect that. That's a great tradition, right?
Well, if
I very Jewish,
make,
right?
Well, yes. I mean, he goes up and down. You never know what you're going to find when you go see him. You know, sometimes it's great. Sometimes it's terrible. But I just want to say, going back to the initial part of this discussion, that one old band that's, you know, stayed great, I think, has been not their album, but the Stooges. A live performance.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, and he's like, he's got to be mixed age. I mean, he's grandpa age, and he's so flexible and crazy.
Oh yeah, he's great.
Well, you know, it's all those things that were supposed to kill him just made him stronger. And you know, I mean, it's true. You know, it's that's why he's alive, because of the rock and roll. It wasn't the rock and roll that killed him. It's not in spite of the rock and roll that he's alive. It's because of the rock and roll that he's alive. Speaking of which, you got a song for us?
Sure. Yeah, you guys want to hear a song?
Yeah. What do you got?
Yes, please.
Well, we've got this new record coming out.
I just want to pour some more eggnog.
Sure. Yeah, you go ahead. Let's do it. It's a breakup record, so I thought maybe I'll do a breakup song for you.
Well, then, it's going to be a heartbreaking Christmas, Judy.
This isn't so heartbreaking. It's all my fault, I guess. I never should have stopped to suffer fools, but I never pressed for details when you held me and you smiled. I forgot when you're unhappy, you simply change the rules without regard for anyone, you narcissistic child. When we heard that he was coming here, your eyes went wide with shock. I should have seen the future then, but chose instead to leave as you regaled the dinner party with your memories of his cock. I'd never pegged you for a size queen, never pegged me for naive, but honey, I'm not angry, I'm just so sorry that you boys got caught. You really had a clever thing going. Hey, I'm sorry, that was all my fault. And so he came just like the rain, pursuing you in cycles. I pleaded for your honesty because of my dark hunch. You started taking him instead of me over to Michael's. Then you sucked his dick in my bed and both took me out to lunch. Well, it's such a joy that every fucking faggot in LA knew all about you too, except for me, I was at work. That's a really shitty place to put your friends, but who's to say? That's what I get for paying the rent for 3 years, fucking jerk. But honey, I'm not angry, seriously, just so sorry that your boys got caught. You really had a funny thing going. Hey, boys, I'm sorry, that was all my fault. Well, first you called me crazy, then confessed in just that order. So I left to meditate upon your total lack of class. I tried to stay together, but my dick, I guess, was shorter. Cause when I left, you called him back to fuck you up the ass. Oh, well, you didn't tell me yet again. Just sucked and fucked and lied. Thank God my friend walked in on you and called me on the line. Now the smell of death engulfs us. Something beautiful has died. So go take it up the ass all day, but not on my damn dime. But honey, I'm not angry, never was, just so sorry that you boys got caught. You really had a funny thing going. Hey, boys, I'm sorry, that was all my fault. Well, I've been great to both of you in public, but it's sad that part of me is dead now in the resting stormy weather. So I thought I'd drop this note to show you I'm no longer mad. So congratulations, Matt and Tom. I'm sure you're still together. Merry Christmas.
Yay! That was great. I hate Matt and Tom.
Well,
that's the worst, though, is when you've supported a guy and then every lady I know has been through that.
Thank you.
Oh.
Holidays are so hard.
They are.
Oh.
Oh, is that sad? That was supposed to be
so really funny.
Empowering, yeah.
So you're going to be spending time with your family this Christmas, Judy?
Yes, I invited them all over for Christmas Eve.
Yeah, and how's that looking like to shape up?
It's going
to
be really great. I'm sure it'll be fine. I'm making lasagna and a traditional Irish meal.
Really, I thought maybe just a bowl of bourbon and some crackers.
That's what I'm going to be having in the kitchen. I'll be rapping away with next to my cat on the floor.
Dan, maybe you can offer some advice to our listenership about how to get along with our families at this difficult time. It's such a high argument risk zone. You know, it's tough, right? Families.
It's already started. I'm getting, like, my brother texted me not to buy my niece hot pants. She's three. Like,
I don't know. It's a tough one because.
Yeah. Also, don't get her a bong.
Yeah.
You know, try and have a sense of humor, because there's a way that relatives can make you crazy that no other group of people can. And I think it's something about the level. The closer you are to certain people, the more they can make you crazy.
The more you hate
there's
them.
There's something about the intimacy there that's so hard. So if you can try and have a sense of humor and not sort of react immediately to certain things. Just sort of...
What do? You step back, you count to 10, you go check on the potatoes.
Usually I step back and talk to my wife and deconstruct the offensive statement, and then
so even
sort of
a rabbi has
things.
A crazy-ass family who
oh,
bugs
yeah,
you.
Everybody does. That's part of the human experience.
Why,
it really is.
Why is it? It seems like, you know, somebody made a comment once that as we get older, we become more ourselves. But it seems like with families, like everybody's got like an archetype or a, you know what I mean? It's mm-hmm. like there's one fight that these two people have to have every year. It's like,
right.
is it a comfort to us to like keep playing the same drama out over and over and over again? Or
I think it probably is a comfort to descend into argument as opposed to talk about real things. In a way, it's easier.
I actually had an argument turn on its head recently, which was too late because my mother, who always used to bug me about it, is dead. But my dad would also carry it on. When I was five, the priest that married them told my parents that I was a very negative person. And whenever we got into fights, my parents would say, "Father Hermley was right. You're a very negative person." So anyway, like a year ago, I was like, "Let's see what happened to Father Hermley." Turns out he and his brother were child molesting priests.
Oh, great.
Wow.
So I immediately downloaded the whole PDF and sent it to my dad, like his court case.
I'm laughing.
PDF, is that short for pedophile?
I mean, but, you know.
I'm laughing, but the rabbi said, oh, great.
I mean, to say something like that, though, I would say is totally inappropriate and unhelpful.
Well,
and he said that in the first place. I mean, that's ludicrous.
I actually think I got off pretty easy. Which is being told I was negative.
I mean, compared to you know what you were just referring to, but yeah. I mean, why would you? I would never do that. I would talk to the individual. I wouldn't go and say. I don't see what purpose it would be to say to parents, "Oh, your daughter is really negative." What constructive purpose would that play?
And Judy McGuire, negative? Our Judy?
I know. I'm like Pollyanna.
Whatever that even means, negative. Whatever that means.
I was just glad I got my revenge.
Well, sounds like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, fuck them, you know? It's amazing to me, though, the way that people can, you know, they can be so judgmental of other people and yet so, so blind to what they're doing themselves. I mean, maybe he was just feeling rejected, you know, and that's what he
well,
found
he
negative.
Did prefer little boys to
did he?
Girls.
I think,
so I think
Jesus
like,
had something to say about that whole thing, about judge not, lest he be judged.
Correct.
And a splinter in your eye and the piece of lumber in the 2x4
sure.
in yours. Or
but
something.
That's not the stuff that anybody seems to focus on anymore, sadly.
Yeah, Catholics are mean.
Yeah, well, you know, I've always said I'm okay with Jesus, but to blame his followers for things like the Ku Klux Klan and the moral majority and miracle whip.
Right.
It's really like blaming fair. The Grateful Dead for having fans that smell bad.
Well, sure. Also, you know, there's certain things, you know, that I really appreciate from Christianity, miracle whip being one of them, but also the Protestant Reformation. That did a lot of good things because that established the idea that you could have disagreements without going and murdering each other. The idea that you could have denominations as opposed to sects meant that you could
right.
coexist.
Martin Luther,
so
OG.
So that's a good thing, I think, that, you know, certainly Jews were influenced by that as well.
Well, I think the message is A-okay. I mean, he stood up for lepers and whores.
Right.
He turned water into wine.
The people who were powerless.
I don't think that Jesus' message, if we can believe, you know, what we've got, you know, was significantly different from what you find in Song of Solomon or what you find from Socrates or the Buddha. I think that it's, but you know, the interpretation of it has been a little bastardized.
A little iffy.
But he's way more interesting than Socrates, as far as I'm concerned.
But
well, according to Bill O'Reilly, you know, Christianity is just a philosophy.
I saw that.
It's not
whatever
a religion.
That meant.
I don't know what the fuck it means either.
But getting back into the spirit of the day, our Christmas spectacular.
Says the atheist.
We're going to hear a highlight of last year's Christmas show, Princess Superstars. rap. She rapped live in our studio.
Nice. Our Christmas show really is more and more spectacular every year. All right, it's the Mike and Judy Show here on the Heritage Radio Network. Here's Princess Superstar. See you guys in a sec. Pick up the beat.
Woo! Hooray! Yay! It's Christmas! Yay! I love Christmas! I love it when it snows. I love ho ho ho's, hot cocoa, Nat King Cole. Happy people throw them bows. I like parades. I like charades. Pumpkin pie on paper plates. Black guys and little girls in fresh done braids. I love Christmas. I love Santa. I love you, baby, and your Christmas swagger. I love mistletoe, kissing you on tippy toe. Where did all my lipstick go? It's Christmas, yo. I love beaded sweaters, red and green, tinfoil letters, cheerful sweaters, being together, Justin Bieber. I love jingle bells, Christmas sales, Chippendales with Santa hats on the big cocktails. I love Christmas, I love Santa, I love you, baby, and your Christmas swagger. I love mistletoe, kissing you on tippy toe, where did all my lipstick go? It's Christmas, yo. For December 2-5, I'm too live every inch of my 5-5 frame. More caboose than a toy train. Damn, that granny got game. Hey, my good friend Keenan. Man, sorry dude, hitting it back when it's did then. Getting ready for the weekend. Spending so much dough at Dwayne Reed, tits the season. I love Christmas. I love Santa. I love you, baby, and your Christmas swagger. I love mistletoe, kissing you on tippy toe. Where did all my lipstick go? It's Christmas, yo. I love Christmas. I love Santa. Everybody, I love you, baby, and your Christmas swagger. I love Christmas, and I love you. I love Christmas, everything except the mostly Jew.
That was so great. She's so cute. She brought her little baby in.
A nice Jewish girl, Princess Superstar.
Yeah, she was wonderful. So Billy, tell us what we can expect at your Christmas show.
Well, I always get a little high concept with them, much to the dismay of the audience sometimes. So.
I saw an excerpt from The Junkie Christmas.
Oh, yeah, that was, we did.
You and Neil Young have that same thing going on.
Right. Trans. But so this year, we did a very Nico Christmas a couple of years ago, which I think was a little,
maybe a bit of a Christmas downer.
Yeah, it was a little bit, but you know, everybody wants a downer for Christmas, don't you think?
I mean, get one anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like a handful of downers to help me get through the whole thing.
I never thought I was too sentimental, but I remember like my very first Christmas by myself when I was an adult. I thought I was like 24 years old. I was living in Boston, and I spent the whole day like on heroin reading Dubliners by James Joyce, and it was so fucking horrible that I decided that I was going to celebrate Christmas regardless. And so sometimes, you know, I get a little tree or I just go to somebody's house. But it was more depressing than I thought. I thought I could roll with it. But
yeah, no. It's like, it's sort of ingrained in you.
It is.
It is. It's a tough time.
It's like, I hate Valentine's Day, but having like a solo, lonely, shitty Valentine's Day is just depressing. Horrible. You have to do something. You have to like go out with your friends.
My least favorite night of the year is New Year's Eve. Without a doubt. I fucking hate New Year's Eve. Yeah. So, you know, I was trying to think of something I hate more than New Year's Eve, and all I could come up with was Illinois Nazis.
I hate the 4th of July possibly more than New Year's Eve.
You don't like America? You don't love your country, Judy? What's wrong with you?
I don't like people throwing explosives off roofs. That's just me because I'm uptight.
Have some more eggnog. It's working for me and the rabbi.
There are these societal expectations, you know, that it's like your New Year's Eve needs to be awesome and your Christmas needs to be great. I'm sure it's like, you know, your What do you guys have?
Like yeah, Rosh Hashanah, right? Passover. We go out and you ever get laid on Rosh Hashanah?
Well, it depends on who you get laid for? By. Well, yes, actually, Purim, that's right.
That's
right.
Your party holiday.
You have to drink between, not knowing the difference between good and evil. That's pretty drunk.
But you don't have to drink that shitty wine, right?
No, that's a myth. People always ask me, you know, for like certain rituals, do I need to get Mug and Dave? And I'm like, no, you don't. Just get some kosher wine.
Perpetrated by them, probably.
Right, right. I mean, somehow that's become canon when it shouldn't be.
Yeah, that is fucked up, the whole Jewish wine thing. Like Passover, now there's a swinging holiday.
Yes.
It's a holiday about freedom, right? It's about shackles unchained. It's about, like, you know, casting off oppression.
Although if you keep the diet, you know, it's about restraining yourself also at the same time.
There he is, the voice of reason. I knew I asked you to be here for a reason. But, you know, but there's a big family holiday where there's a lot of booze going on.
Yes.
For Jews, that's a lot of booze.
Yes.
You know, they say Jews don't drink. Here's one that does.
Yeah, you're the exception.
I never experienced, you know, people tell me that, like, that's the first time they got drunk, was at their family Seder.
I've seen more 8-year-olds hit the floor during Passover, you know, growing up, you know, because, well, my parents are square and teetotalers and just kind of, I'd like to say they're abstemious, but they're really just prudes, you know. Mm-hmm. They don't really drink wine and they don't really get into the whole four cups thing, but.
Well, for us, it was a, you know, I'm not complaining about this. It was a intellectual exercise and the whole Seder. And, you know, how long could you wait until you ate?
That's sort of my mother's whole life.
Yeah. She's still waiting for dinner.
And I'm not complaining. It was just never, you know, like my
friend. I never even got dessert at Thanksgiving.
Wow. So we're going to go out with a song from
is it already? Or is it time?
I know. It's like the fastest half
Judy,
hour.
I love our Christmas shows so much.
It's so great. We have Christmas lights. Too bad it's not television.
To see that great reindeer sweater that you're wearing, too.
Yes. So what are we going to... Are we going to hear something from the show?
Sure. Or? No, you know what? This is a punk band, The Garage Dogs, that I was in with my brothers, but we wrote a Christmas song. So we'll send this out for everybody to have a Merry Christmas.
So before we go, though, Billy, tell us once again where we can see you next week.
Next Sunday night, the 23rd at Joe's Pub, 9:30. Suck my dickens.
And you're at BillyHuff.com?
Yes, I am.
All right. And thanks again to my good friend, Dan Bronstein.
Pleasure.
Really good to see you, Dan. You too. Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. We'll see each other next year, Judy. This is our last show of the year.
I know.
So for Mike and Judy and Billy and Rabbi Dan and Joe the Engineer, Happy New Year, everybody. Merry Christmas.
Late last winter, I took a walk, wrapped up tight around 8 o'clock. I was down and then it started to rain. As I walked to the T to jump in front of the train, I hated my job, I couldn't make a living. I hated my place and I hated Thanksgiving. It's been so long since I'd had drugs or sex. I hated my cat and I hated my ex. But there on a platform I bought a Christmas cookie, and from the boombox of some blacked out bookie came a Christmas song from long ago. I felt like Proust as the music and the memories made this thing come to roost. It said Christmas, that old song by Darlene Love, Christmas, from the Phil Spector Christmas record, you know. Christmas, she got about a whole fucking box set to get it. Christmas. With all my strength I ran up those stairs, tears in my eyes, in the black night I stared. I swear I saw a star coming up in the east. We were in New Jersey, it could have been a plane or something, who knows. Life may suck, but Christmas is great. Quit your bitching and circle the date. Pull up your big boy pants and eat your fruitcake. Life may suck, but Christmas is great. There'll be lots of food and a check from home, and maybe, maybe, maybe if you don't forget, Old Saint Nick will throw me a bone and leave me a couple of Percocet. All life may suck, but Christmas is great. Quit complaining and open your gate. Hang up the mistletoe and pile up your plate. Life may suck, but Christmas is great. A pack of smokes for Charlie and a brand new bike for Dad. Little bombs for Mommy and for all the kids she had. So have a Merry Christmas, may your night be filled with cheer. And hug a friend and fuck a foe and start the New Year clear. Happy fucking New Year's Eve and happy fucking Kwanzaa. Happy fucking Ramadan and happy fucking Hanukkah. Peace on earth, goodwill to men, and Mother Mary had a son. Deck the halls and trim the tree and goddamn bless us, everyone. Merry Christmas.
Woo! Yeah. That was amazing.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.